As you look at the Lord's Supper table, I want you to understand exactly what it means. There are two ordinances given to the church. One is baptism, the other is participating in the Lord's Supper. Both represent who Jesus is in our life. When we are baptized, we're saying publicly that we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we partake of the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper, what we are saying is we know that Christ's body was broken for us, and we know that he shed his blood for us. Everything that represents Jesus Christ was done for us. No narcissism whatsoever. Everything done was done for the children of God. Those who would confess openly that they believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I can never put Jesus in the past because he's continually present. Jesus has never ceased to say that he is the Lord. He has never ceased to say how much he loves us. The difference is he shows us his love. He allows us to even mention his name. You know why? Because he loves us. And he knows that we're broken. As we go through this day and for each day of our life, you and I need to remember a fact. That fact is what Christ did, he did for us. And the fact is today that when we fall and we step out of line, we do that on our own. He does not trip us up to make us fall. He stands strong because he realizes we're going to fall. We get so far down in the ditch of life sometime we don't think there's hope. But that's what Easter is about, a living hope. Nothing dead about Easter any more than there's anything dead about our Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And that first Easter morn, Jesus knew that in order for you and I to have a partnership with him in heaven, he knew that he had to die. And he did. What does the resurrection mean to us? The resurrection means that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. It's not a problem with Jesus still being in the tomb. The problem that you and I face in America today is Jesus in our heart. You see, the resurrection has already taken place. You and I have heard the stories leading up to the resurrection. Most of us who grew up in a church, we heard the stories. But somewhere in our life, those stories became real. And when we said yes to Jesus Christ, at that moment, we understood that this is a Savior that did what he said he would. And that does continue to do what God said he must. As God looks to his heart and look to ours, he continued to see a flawing generation. But he saw the blood of his son. Do you know that not one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ will ever see decay? Do we not realize that when Jesus came forth from that tomb, that he came forth to express forgiveness and love for those who put him there? Do we not understand that the resurrection is more important than the birth? Can we look to the Word of God and find out what he truly meant when he said this? Weep at birth, rejoice at death. Now you try growing up hearing that scripture and trying to figure out, what does that mean? You will grow in Christ. And as you grow in Christ, we'll understand. He also went on and said, you know, the day of my death is greater than the day of the birth. It is through the resurrection that you and I live. Now, I'm not talking about just living for the moment. I'm talking about living throughout eternity. God says, I give you my son. I give you my son with love. Would you love me back? If you love me, watch after my flock. If you love me, put me first in your heart. I will take care of you. I will nurture you. I'll forgive you. And I will continue to love you. But you have a ministry to do. As a Christian, every one of us are called to minister. And each one of us must focus on that specific or multiple ministries that God has called us to. He who calls is able to comfort. He who calls is able to equip. He who calls is able to keep us to that day. Anytime you're looking at the scripture and you're reading, and you will get to a section that says, in that day, it always means in the second coming of Christ, in the day of the Lord, when he comes again. It's not a question of, is he coming? The big question is, when he does come, will he find faith on earth? The love that was extended to you and I was a love extended from the heart of God the Father. And you see, Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. John 11, verse 25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. I can only separate from this body. The real me, the real you on the inside there, we keep going. We get a new one, body. Oh, it's going to be magnificent. Because it's designed by God. And God looks to the heart. And he says, I see who you really are. I see your hurt and I see your pain. I see what is going on in every step you take. And I want you to know, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will always be with you. I will always stand beside you. Again, I remind you, Jesus promised that he would be with me when I'm wrong. He'll be with me when I'm right. That he will always be with me when I'm bad, when I'm good. That does not separate me from his love just because my human love cannot hold on so often. And then you and I ask ourselves the question, how could such a great God have anything to do with us? There's a story behind it. And that story begins with Easter. The story begins with Easter. I remind you again, God has no beginning and He has no ending. Only we focus on time. God happens to be time. And He says, I will love you forever. And here's proof. Larry, I'm going to stand back and I'm going to watch my only begotten Son hang on a cross for your sins. Be beaten for your sins. I'm going to hold off of coming and completely wiping off the face of the earth, the evil in the heart of man. Because my Son said He loves you. And He proved it. He went to a cross. You and I won't have to. Jesus Christ paid it all. I cannot owe anything because I could not pay it to begin with. He went to the cross and He said, Father, it is finished. Can't you picture your name being on the lips of Jesus? Can we not picture the trauma that Jesus went through as 100% man, 100% human, through the beating? And I promise you, every part of every stripe has got our names on it. Oh, if we could have listened and truly heard Jesus on that cross, we would have learned how special we are to Him. He said, you are my special priest. And I will watch after you. Because of the resurrection, you and I will also join with Him in the ultimate resurrection. Because Jesus lives today, you and I can never see death. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said. And when you believe this, I want you to know that you'll be with me before that body hits the floor. You'll be with me. For I promised you, you'll never see death. Understand something, folks. When you go to the funeral of a friend or an associate, and you look into the casket, you do not see that person. You see that person's vehicle that just didn't make it any longer. It's called the body. And God said, here's your vehicle. I want you to use it through life. And now in our generation, we're witnessing our Savior talking to our scientists and training them in how to build the parts that'll keep us alive longer. Think of it. God says, in the beginning, God. Now, the Bible does not say, in the beginning, the article, the is not there. In beginning, God. In beginning, God. That's our beginning as a human race. God is the beginning and He is the end. Yet He said, there will be no end to my kingdom. And I'll prove it to you. My Son will rise again so that you too will be with us in paradise. It's through the love of Christ. Folks, please understand that you and I are loved so much that we cannot fathom the depth of that love. And God says, won't you come? Won't you be a part of my army? Did you know that during that resurrection, after Jesus had came forth, the scripture says many of the saints that were dead and in the tombs after the resurrection by Jesus, many of those saints came forth out of those tombs and went into the cities and seen by multitudes. Jesus said, I'm in charge. And I promise you this, not one drop of my blood will see damnation. There can be no ending to us. Because you see, in the mind of God, there is no beginning. And in faith, and that's the only way, in faith, we understand. God says, when I tell you, you will be with me forever, I want you to know forever starts now. Forever begins with me when you recognize me as your Lord and Savior. Forever. In a long time. Forever. You and I will walk with Christ. We will do what Christ has called us to do. It's not over when we leave this physical body. That's the retirement time for us. Out of this world. And the Lord says, come. And as he says, come, he wants to show us what is real. If I'm to look at a dream of something that it just is in your mind, you're dreaming. It's the thing called life, existence here in this body. Not only is it a dream, a lot of times it becomes a nightmare. And you and I battle inside and out. But this existence is the dream and the nightmare. The real existence is the real us who's in here. The innermost part of Christ, when he let his innermost love come out, then through the power of his love, he said, welcome to eternity. Larry, count it as though you're already here. I love that one. Count it as though you're already here. See, Jesus died for us while we are yet in the sinning state. And be thankful, because you and I realize in this human condition, we can fight all the sin we want, but we do break down. We mess up. We do dumb things. We fall into the ditch of life. But we have the promise of the resurrection. The promise from the Lamb of God. The hope of a future. It will not be controlled by man. It will be controlled by man's creator. What man says, man has no authority over. When God speaks, he speaks with authority. Even to the point that the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they're all looking around at each other and saying, where's he getting this? Well, he did not even go to seminary with us. How does he know this stuff, these things? Remember something. You want a good drink of water? Go to the head of the stream. You want to really understand a book? Go to the author. There's a book out there called the Holy Bible. The author is God. And as his spirit touches our heart when we're reading his word, we see hope. But folks, as we grow in Christ, we see more than hope. We see already. And we're already there. So if I am not in a battle continually for my salvation, because folks, listen, when Jesus saved me, he did it right the first time. I'm the one that messes up in the human body. I was saved right the first time. He doesn't need to do it again. Jesus never does anything wrong. He never creates junk. Therefore, you and I should know that when God saw us before time as we know it began, he loved us. The scripture says the plan of the cross had always been, but we could not grasp it. Not only that, I still can't grasp it. You know, I wonder, when we leave this body and go to be with our Lord, will we ever throughout eternity fully grasp it? Now, we'll ever be learning. We will forever have the peace. And in that retirement, a lot of work. How many people do you know of that when they retire, they're really that happy with retirement? Well, you know, I got to go do something. Well, why don't you go, do a few things at church? No, I got to really do something. Meaning, we are called by God as laborers. But isn't it going to be great that the labor for the Christian is a ministry, and the ministry for Jesus Christ never dies? I do not know what we'll be doing throughout eternity, but I do know this. We're going to be with Jesus. And whatever he decides we need to be doing, we will be. It is hope. When you and I look around in our nation today and in our churches, so many churches closing the doors, when we see that and we say, why? As we question the reason for it, all we need do is look within our own families. Do we truly live Christ in our family or only on Sunday? Is it through the week? When our children come in, who do they see at home? Christians who act like Christians? Are they just waiting for the first part of yelling? Are they just waiting for something to go wrong and people walk away from the love? My heart is truly burdened. And my heart is burdened for the truth of God to be proclaimed in the pulpits throughout the world. You know who I look to today? If I really, really want to see the acts of the Christian faith, I look to the multiple thousands upon thousands of Christians throughout the rest of the world who are being slaughtered because they're Christian. They cry, they shake, and they'll do anything that they could to get away from it, except renounce Christ, and they die. Would we? What if Jesus renounced us before he went to the cross? Had he not went to the cross and on the third day came back from the tomb, you and I would have no hope at all. My hope is based on a promise. But how long is it going to be before the church once again takes a stand for who Christ is? On Easter? Preacher, why would you bring that up? Folks, that's what Easter is about. Jesus, all he had to say was, "No, I am not the Son of God." And he'd have been fine. He'd have been a big time preacher. And he would have had multitudes of followers. But his love went deeper than the love of the day. His love went to the depth of the heart of God and the love throughout eternity. And he said, "I must go, I will go. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours be done." And so his will is done. We're alive today because God willed it. We're loved today because God willed it. We can have peace today in Jesus Christ because God willed it. And he says, "Whoever I bless, no one can curse." Each of us have been blessed by God. Pray for those who would curse you. For in that same breath, they curse the Son of God. Be at peace with who you are in Christ. And understand, you'll mess up. Did you ever think that the Apostle Peter, as he claimed, "Lord, I will never, not me, all the rest of them will leave, but not me." And Jesus says, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times." Not only did the Apostle Peter deny Christ in order to be convincing, he cursed. He cursed to show that he was part of the crew that was out there. And after the resurrection, Jesus sent word, "Go tell the disciples, I will meet them in the upper room." And by the way, tell Peter to come. And the scripture says, the Lord said, "When Peter has come to his senses, tell him to come." What was the difference in that day and this day? The Holy Spirit that you and I have, which was poured out at Pentecost, had not yet been poured out in the heart of the disciples. They knew who Jesus was, but as a human being, they had no authority. They saw themselves as flawing, without strength, because the one they loved, Jesus, the leader, was dead. How can we do it? How can we manage life if our leader has died? And then the Holy Spirit came. And for the first time throughout biblical history, listen to me, throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would work in the heart of the prophets, different times, different strength, and would depart and come back in. At the birth of Christ, the prophecy was being fulfilled to where God said, "And my Spirit will rest in you and not depart." The church, that's who we are. The body of Christ today, we are powered by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. When he comes into the Christian, he does not leave. It was the first. That's why the church has so much authority over evil. And I wonder why we Christians walk around so frightened from the very evil that Christ said he's got covered. Be at peace, my friends. And I want you to know, when you opened your mouth and confessed Jesus, through all the mistakes you have made and all the many that will be coming. Jesus did not make a mistake. He did not mess up. He did it right the first time. And one of these days, oh, this is what I love that's so exciting about Easter. Do you know that one day in God's kingdom, you and I will be together again in the twinkling of an eye? But I always remember one of my professors, Dr. George Redding, and he says, in heaven, Brother Vance, in heaven, you'll know people you didn't even know on earth. That's what the blood of Christ does. No strangers with our Lord. No bitterness. No family feuds. No foolishness. Pure, ultimate love. Welcome to God's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, as we do lift our heart to you, come asking, Heavenly Father, as you touch our life, that, Father, that you will give us the courage, the strength to stand strong, and, Father, the will that we need. Let it be your will, Father. And as we focus on who you are, then can we focus on the ultimate love that you gave for us. I ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.